Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Coming up a little later, Wynton Marsalis. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have a call in for immigrants from anywhere on the soccer style of your country of origin in the World Cup and what it says about the national culture of your culture of origin. You can even call in on that now and get in line if you want at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. But first, you wake up this morning to a knock at your door. You open it, and it's a genie who proclaims, "I am here to grant you one wish. You can go back in time to any moment. Where would you like to go? And what would you like to do?" Well, how many of you listening would say, "I would like to go back in time to yesterday afternoon to Virginia's 7th Congressional District and conduct exit polling on voters who upset House Majority Leader Eric Cantor?" Yeah, me neither. But still, in perhaps the most shocking political upset in a generation, there are so few answers about really what happened yesterday when Cantor lost to the largely unknown Tea Party challenger Dave Brat after outspending Brat 8-1. Brat's current job, by the way, economics department chair at Randolph-Macon College in Virginia and director of their program on the moral foundations of capitalism. I didn't make that up.
This campaign was about just basic American values and virtues right from the beginning, and the basic premise is power belongs to the people, and that's what we're going to do.
The new Republican nominee, Dave Brat, out with the old Eric Cantor, who was hardly a liberal when he helped gridlock the debt ceiling in 2011.
I don't see how multiple votes on a debt ceiling increase can help get us to where we want to go, which is we want big reforms, we want big spending cuts, and big changes to how this town works.
So why did this happen, and what does it mean for the rest of us? There will probably be no concrete answers for a while, as there was no exit polling. But there are plenty of emerging theories about both cause and effect, so let's run through a few of those about Eric Cantor's loss right now and some of the not-so-fast evidence that undercuts those theories. With us for this is John Stanton, BuzzFeed's D.C. bureau chief. Hi, John. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's good to be here.
So emerging theory number one on the impact of this, there goes immigration reform. Cantor was seen as the key to getting Republicans on board with some degree of immigration reform next year to help with the 2016 presidential race. His opponent hammered away at that during the primary. How much is immigration and immigration reform in Congress weaker today than it was 24 hours ago?
Well, I think you make the right point here. I think that you know, this year, obviously, immigration reform has been dead for, I would argue, since the election, frankly, in 2012, that they never really had any shot of getting anything done during this session. But there was this thought that maybe next year they could get it done in that first year of the next session of Congress before the presidential election really gets underway. And I do think that the election, because immigration was such a big issue in the last few days of it, will have an impact. I think other members are going to look at this and say, well, you know, he got beat up really bad at the end there by this guy over his positions on immigration. I'm not going to want to be in that boat. And so I think certainly for the next couple of years, you will see a lot of Republicans retrench into a much more conservative position on immigration.
But here's my not so fast number one. People are acting like immigration was a done deal were it not for Eric Cantor losing in one district in Virginia. It was far from a foregone conclusion. And this doesn't change the presidential politics of, you know, the almost impossibility, looking at the demographics of the 2012 Obama reelection, of a Republican winning without a new infusion of Latino support.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think, you know, the idea that Eric Cantor's demise killed anything is, you know, in terms of immigration is way overstating it. I think the administration will probably use that as a talking point. You'll hear a lot from them, but it's not particularly accurate. And I do think that it doesn't change at all any of the demographic realities for Republicans. And I think that, you know, the problem for them is going to be coming to terms with that in the next couple of years. I'm not sure that this helps them come to terms with that, but it doesn't certainly change it.
And I'll note that Lindsey Graham and John Boehner, who were just as vocal, if not more so, in support of some kind of immigration reform, won their primaries without any problems. Emerging theory number two, the Tea Party is dead, long live the Tea Party. For three election cycles into the Tea Party era, this was supposed to be the year, and it's really funny this morning to look back at all the media headlines over the last few months as establishment Republicans were beating Tea Party candidates in primary after primary. This was supposed to be it, where they're no longer susceptible to getting primaried because those Tea Party candidates kept losing in general elections. So does this mean the Tea Party is still a major force?
Well, no, I think. I don't think it speaks to that issue, frankly. You know, none of the major Tea Party organizations really played in this election. You didn't see, you know, the Madison Project or the Senate Conservatives Fund or the Club for Growth. No one really put money into this race. Everyone sort of assumed that Eric Cantor was going to win. Even, you know, some of his most conservative opponents assumed he was going to win. There were a few sort of spokespeople that have been associated with the Tea Party, Mark Levin and Laura Ingraham, who were very active on it. But there was no movement, per se, from the Tea Party groups to do this. And, you know, I would also point out that Eric Cantor is a leader of the Young Guns, and he really helped usher in the Tea Party movement into Congress in 2010. Without his work on that project, you wouldn't have had a lot of those Tea Party members elected
to
Congress.
And what about the role of Laura Ingraham, the conservative radio talk show host? I gather she was down there a lot. She made this particular race a big deal on her radio show. Is it possible to measure the impact of Laura Ingraham?
It is difficult. I think that, you know, for Republican base voters, the talk radio is an enormous thing, and you know, they, it's why you see a lot of members being afraid of immigration reform, because of the talk radio guys going after them about it. And I think that it certainly had to have had an impact, and a positive one, for Mr. Barrett.
Brad, by the way, you say the Club for Growth didn't sink any money into this. I went to his website this morning, actually his webpage on the Randolph-Macon College website, and there was a big picture of Steve Moore, who is one of the Club for Growth founders, you know, as somebody who is philosophically allied with Dave Brat, and yet you're saying Club for Growth, which is this, you know, free market libertarian think tank, which is where Brat comes from philosophically, didn't sink money into it. Is that just because they didn't think he really had a chance?
I think it's mostly because they didn't think he had a chance, and I think also they've been very careful in the kinds of fights they pick with incumbent members. And going after Eric Cantor, who on almost all the issues has voted consistently with them, wouldn't have been a wise choice for them. I think even in hindsight, I don't know that they would have chosen to pick a fight with him.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio. As we ask, what happened to House Majority Leader Eric Cantor losing his Republican primary in a big upset yesterday in Virginia with John Stanton, the D.C. Bureau Chief for BuzzFeed? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you have a theory about why this happened, and Carol in Brooklyn has one. Hi, Carol, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I had heard that the voter turnout was extremely low, and we know that when voter turnout is low, the people who are interested, the people who are involved, the people who are active come out and vote, and the rest of the people stay home, and that's why moderate people continue to lose.
So that theory makes sense, but John Stanton, it did not hold in so many of these other congressional primaries this year.
Yeah, you know, the turnout definitely was low in his district this year, but I think that, and I do think that may have played a factor. You know, as the caller said, you know, you do get this much more concentrated kind of voter, more, you know, ideologically pure. They sort of pay more attention to that, but it hasn't traditionally been much of a problem for incumbents, particularly folks in leadership. I mean, if you look at John Boehner, who Tea Party groups did spend money to try to oust, he handily won his election. And so, you know, I think it really plays into, if you have a bad campaign, these kind of issues can then have a major effect on it.
Sydney in Manhattan, you went to the college where Brat teaches?
Hi, Brian. Yes, I did. I'm a graduate of Randolph-Macon College.
Congratulations on your degree. Did you know him?
No, I didn't know him. I was a history major, unfortunately, but my fellow students with economics degrees just raised their value a few points right now.
I guess. Well, he's the chair of the economics department, and as I saw on his site, he runs a program called The Moral Foundations of Capitalism. Was there a big libertarian streak at Randolph-Macon in your experience?
No. Well, yes, maybe. You know, I came from Montclair, New Jersey, and I went to a small liberal arts college in Virginia, so I definitely, the politics are pretty conservative, I'd say, in Virginia, but you know, I think David Brad has been pretty well misrepresented in the press. He's not a Tea Party candidate, and I don't think he's all that conservative.
Really?
He's not. I watched him for hours on Fox last night, and he and Hannity and Megyn Kelly made a point not to paint him as a Tea Partier. He's not an extreme white right-wing guy. He's not a divisive radical guy. He's just a conservative economist.
So why did he beat Eric Cantor, who might fit that same description, maybe not an economist per se, but a good, solid Republican conservative?
Well, I think that there's a real breath of fresh air when you have an academic that's running for a congressional seat. You know, we actually have two Randolph-Macon professors now vying for the seat. Jack Trammell, who works in the Disability Support Services at Randolph-Macon.
He's going to be the Democratic candidate against Brett. That's going to make for some awkward faculty meetings the next few months, don't you think?
So we're very proud. It's as people know who go to small liberal arts schools in small towns of the country, you know, when you leave Virginia, no one really knows Randolph-Macon, and it's happy to know that we're getting some good representation
now. Sydney, thank you very much. Well, John Stanton, what do you think about her take that he's not really a flame-throwing Tea Party candidate and being misrepresented by the media this way? I don't know, because I didn't pay any attention to this race until last night after it was over. So did he run as Tea Party per se? How much do you know?
I mean, I think he definitely adopted that mantle. But there clearly are some issues on which he is not the sort of hard right populist that a lot of people have begun to associate the Tea Party with. For instance, you know, this morning he did an interview with Chuck Todd, and he said that he believes the U.S. should be aggressively out in the world defending freedom and things like that, which is much less isolationist than I think you hear from a lot of the Tea Party candidates these days. But I do think that, frankly, nobody really knows who this guy is. You know, there were very few reporters that I know that realistically gave him any chance of winning. And, you know, everybody that I know in D.C. was just taken by surprise by this.
All right. Emerging theory number four from David in Great Neck. David, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Good morning, Brian. Well, my only thought, I mean, I'm not sorry that Cantor was defeated, but he is Jewish. He's the only Jewish Republican in the Congress. It's well known that he's semi-observant and comes from a kosher home. What I wonder is, did the Tea Party use any of that in trying to defeat him? You just played a clip where Brat was talking about American values. And what I wonder, and I've kind of thought since the Tea Party was created in 2009, that whole group, it's the continuation of a sort of populist, somewhat anti-intellectual, anti-Semitic thing that's in a very American strain. It was a populist party in the 19th century. It was part of McCarthyism in the 20th century.
Right.
Isn't there an aspect of this in this whole Cantor affair?
Well, you're not the first person to raise that. Of course, since 9/11, there's been so much emphasis on the right of America as representing Judeo-Christian values as opposed to you-know-what. But did this come up? He is the most prominent Jewish Republican in the country, somewhat observant, as the caller points out. John Stanton, anything there?
No, I honestly don't think so. I think I would almost argue the opposite, that I think most Tea Party people that I know, particularly their leadership, identify very strongly with Israel. They come from sort of the Reagan background where, you know, they see our relationship with Israel as being very paramount to our foreign policy. And there was no evidence that this ever really came up in terms of certainly Mr. Bratt's campaign. And I think that people in the district have known Eric for 2 decades. He's, even though his district has changed some, everybody in Virginia knows him. They know he is Jewish, and it's never been much of an issue for him.
All right. One last emerging theory. I think this is Twitter's favorite today, and we will let Rita in Washington Heights give it voice. Hi, Rita. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
Great show today.
Thank you. The theory is?
The theory is a number of progressives in Virginia voted in the open primary. I personally know of 3, and I've heard of at least 4 more. And I think that might have played a significant role in this.
Liberal sabotage to cross party lines because they're allowed to under Virginia law to get the Tea Party nominee in over Eric Cantor because he's more likely to lose in November. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Exactly.
John Stanton?
Well, it's funny. I had sort of the same notion last night, and I started talking with some of the people that I know in progressive circles and Democratic circles in the state, and particularly some of the more dirty tricks type guys, and none of them said that they had done any of this kind of stuff. In fact, they all said that they have abandoned this as a tactic in general because unless you have an election that is very, very, very close, it's very hard to get your guys to go out and do this in practice. And so even if you turn out 1,000, unless you're talking about a margin of error that is less than 1,000, it's going to have no real impact. And if people find out you're doing it, it could energize Republicans to go out and vote in numbers that you don't want them to.
And the margin here was like 7,000, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It's a big, big margin.
So there really 7,000 Democrats and independents who rallied to pull this off?
Right.
That question would have to be answered in the affirmative, and that looks very doubtful.
Right. And it would require a level of coordination that I think would have become obvious by now.
All right. Well, we leave it there. Some emerging theories at different levels of being debunked by our guest, John Stanton, D.C. Bureau Chief for BuzzFeed. In any case, in one of the biggest upsets in congressional history, truly, I don't think a majority leader has ever been primaried out before. Eric Cantor.
I think it's been 200 years at least since one has lost an election.
Eric Cantor is done. Thanks a lot, John.